I think I one minute early or so, and we'll let the doors close. My name is Jeff Medford, and I'm a technical product manager on the Office team for Microsoft, and have been with Office 365 for quite some time, ever since it was called BPOS, and kind of moved out of that realm into Office and Office 365. So about 5 or 6 years now for me working on cloud and what it means from a productivity perspective in the cloud. So I'm really excited today to talk to you about Office 365. And I also have Danny Berlage, who is the CTO for Wartel out of the Netherlands, and he is an Office 365 MVP. So what we're going to do today is we are going to talk a little bit about Office 365, the various SKUs and plans and licensing permutations, but we're also going to demonstrate some of the differences. So when you look at the title of choosing the right cloud service, obviously I'm from the Office team, and the right cloud service in my mind is Office, but we'll help you choose through all the various pieces, because we know in the marketplace with consumer and enterprise and mid-market and all these things we're going to talk about, that we need to have kind of clarity around what is Office 365, what does it bring to the table, and that you don't have to go either all in. You can actually take pieces of it that fit with your business or choose what's right for you. So a very flexible model that we go through. So again, my name is Jeff Medford, and then Danny Berlage. So thank you for coming, Danny.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So just a quick question. Who uses Office 365 today? All right, that's about 10% of the room, 20.
Very good. So you might not learn a ton if you're already using Office 365 because you've already chosen the right cloud service. So I'll be quite honest. This is more for an engagement of people who are looking at. So I guess my question would be, who's looking at Office 365 right now for your business?
All right.
It's amazing. So congratulations. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. So with that, I'm going to let some people settle in here, and then we'll get started. And any questions you have, we're going to have plenty of time at the end for you to come up to the microphones and ask questions. And we do have another giveaway, so I guess we'll do another question at the end or a best question type of thing. So think of them as we're going through and try to stump us, and maybe we'll have another Office subscription for you. So getting into it. For everyone who's looking at Office 365 in the room, the question usually is, what is Office 365? So on this slide and in this part of the discussion, really drilling down into it's Office, it's Exchange, it's SharePoint, it's Link, and it's Yammer. So Office 365 encompasses all of these various services as a whole. So the brand is Office 365, and you can consume any of these services through online. Over on the right-hand side there, from an enterprise quality support, financially backed SLA, this is the Microsoft cloud, which we financially back 99.9%. So from an enterprise grade and reliability, number one. I mean, that's number one consideration for anyone looking at a cloud service. And we deliver that from the Microsoft side through all of these services and components of what Office 365 is all about. From an Office perspective, it's familiar, and we'll get into what does Office look like when it's coming from a subscription or from the cloud. And then service plans for everyone, that's really the tagline for this conversation here, is making sure you understand the various plans and the various ways that you can consume Office, Exchange, SharePoint, Link, and Yammer. As a whole entirety or as one at a time. So I talked about a little bit, but enterprise grade cloud services. We have had Office in the consumer space for a very long time. We've had Office in the commercial space for a very long time. And when we think about delivering a service, what I want you to really picture is enterprise is enterprise, consumer is consumer. So when you think of consumer SkyDrive, consumer Office, that is the consumer side of the business. And when you start thinking about the enterprise plans, the small business plans, the mid-market plans, that is truly delivering from a enterprise grade out to all of these businesses, no matter how small or how large. And we really do that from the enterprise-grade cloud services as a core principle of Office 365. Another core principle is the comprehensive tools to do your best work. Simply put, being the best productivity across whatever device you're using, across whatever modality you're using, whether it's a browser, whether it's rich applications. So truly delivering across these devices the best productivity experience to all your users, to all our end users. And when you look across the bottom there, from a dynamic workplace, making sense of it all, these are kind of the core trends as we look at what Office can deliver with the new Office. Merging home and work, natural expression, responsible organization when it comes to being compliant and having retention policies, really going deep on that side. And all of these pieces, if you come to the Office, I don't want to call it a booth, it's like a huge area. Come to the Office area, you can see a lot of these different pieces working together. So on a surface with Office running through a browser, or on a giant pixel TV working with more of the natural kind of move it around with your hands. You see all these pieces working together from a new Office perspective. And when we get into the core, what is new in introducing Office 365, I want to walk across these four pillars as devices, cloud, social, and control. So no matter where you are consuming Office from, no matter what version of Office that you are purchasing or distributing out to your end users, these are the core pieces that we really think about from an Office organization that we want to deliver out to our customers. On the devices front, fast and fluid experiences, whether you're using touch or whether you're using a mouse or a keyboard in the traditional desktop environment or using those new immersive applications like OneNote and Link, those are core to the experience of the new Office 365. Again, with a support for Windows Phone, iOS, Android, so that bring your own device scenario you might be dealing with at work right now where people have iPads, people have Androids, people have iPhones, people have Windows phones or Windows devices, being able to support and give great experiences across all those devices. So as a key principle of the new Office 365, devices comes first, and giving those experiences across all of those interactions that people have. And we look at the cloud as a core experience from Office 365. Roaming and always up to date. We'll talk a little bit about the Office bits and click to run in a couple slides. But being able to roam, and the reason you can roam is that when you're subscribing to Office as a service, you can actually implement it across five different devices. So your laptop, your Slate, your PC at home. Across these different devices, Office will recognize you, allow you to authenticate, and then have your recent files, your information, so that you can continue to work no matter what device you're on, up to five, as we talked about it. And from this one little box of an Office subscription for home use, it's on five PCs, and you subscribe to it, you can put it on all the different PCs for your home use. New cloud app development model, and I know there's a ton of talk about app development, and SharePoint probably has a great amount of sessions about being able to develop apps on top of Office 365, but also from the Office perspective, directly in the client experience, being able to have the Office store, office.com, and be able to manage those applications that pull through the Office experience. So whether it's some of the examples of maps, of data analytics that come directly through, or integration with LinkedIn or other social networks. And then again, we talked a lot about enterprise-grade reliability and standards, and that has to be core to the experience from a cloud perspective. I mean, that is, when I go to these shows and when I talk to customers directly, number one question is always security, reliability, are we comfortable through certifications, through the way we build out our service, that's always what we need to position. From a social perspective, and to give it a kind of overview, social isn't just a place you go and be social. Social needs to be pervasive through all the applications. Whether you're commenting, or whether you're tagging items, or whether you're searching or following people or documents, it needs to be part of your experience. And so truly, in one of the core pillars of the new Office is pervasive social capabilities across all of the communications you're using within Office as an application. But also with news feeds, microblogging, and integration with Yammer, being able to speak once and have a lot of people hear it, be able to communicate and have that knowledge base open to a lot of people within your organization instead of being locked down in a distribution list or in someone's inbox, but really being able to communicate broadly and quickly with different sets of teams. And that's true with the news feeds, microblogging, and Yammer. And then again, from a social perspective of Link with multi-party HD and Skype integration, this has been something that I've been talking about for quite a few years, that there's really not a lot more social than seeing someone's face on the other end of the line. Being able to have that communication direct one-to-one or one-to-few or even one-to-many, and that's a core piece of the social aspect. So being able to instant message and have real-time communications directly from Outlook, directly from SharePoint through Link. So that's a big piece of the social context that we're working in. And then again, control. Control is always another big piece. And not only just easing fears of control with our customers, but adding features to what you might not already be doing today. So being able to add in DLP, data loss prevention, or retention policies that you might have to do multiple point solutions right now within your environment, but having those come into Exchange so that you can write policies once, have them go out to all your users, and give that end user an experience that says, hey, that information you're trying to email out, can't do it. Don't let it flow. And I think you'll see some of that in the demonstration as we go. And then having that true, rich control and management. And if you see the interface from Office 365 perspective in the Admin Center and the Exchange Admin Center, looks the same as the Exchange 2013 Admin Center. It is a true representation, whether you're in the cloud or on premises, with your infrastructure. So that is the core introducing Office 365 that I wanted to bring before we kind of dig into each and every plan and way that we can consume Office. These are throughout all the plans. These are throughout Office. These are throughout Exchange, SharePoint, either together or as you need them best for your business. So we did talk a little bit about Office and then Office as a service, but I want to highlight I get asked every time I'm here, every time I'm at a trade show, someone walks in and says, what does Office look like with Office 365? What is the end user experience going to be? And every single time I open up Outlook and I say, here you go. Open up Word and say, here you go. You install Office. It's a service, and there's many different ways to consume it, but you get 5 full installations of Office across devices. So when you think about Office Pro Plus with Office 365 Pro Plus, you get Outlook, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, all of the features of the rich clients as part of a subscription service. But along with that, you start to get the always up to date with the latest features. You can roam and access documents across your devices. You can still control from an IT perspective your implementation of that Office packaging. But your users can have it across devices. You can install it very quickly and easily, and even side by side with older Office generations. So side by side implementation makes it very easy for IT to start deploying and let the users come as the training and as their access starts coming. So Office is new. Office is a service, but you can absolutely install it and experience it directly on your laptop, directly on your desktops. And then we have all the other ways to consume with Office web apps and on demand. We even have a really nice kind of big chart at our booth here that you can come grab from us. It tells you every type of way you can interface with Office. So getting into the plans, we're going to walk through these plans, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the demonstration and actually showing you what these are. But I wanted to highlight that. Office 365 Home Premium, that is for consumers. You go into a retail store and pick up this box, and there's nothing in it but a card, and it's got a key on it. There's no DVD. You go home, put in the key, implement Office on your machine, and it can go across those 5 machines. So Home Premium is for consumers. It is the consumer side. It's what you'll see online and at our retailers. It's what you'll see with new laptops and new devices that you're purchasing, and that is the home premium version. We also have Office 365 for Education. This is very important to us from an education perspective. Students being able to experience new technology, Office web apps, being able to experience Office as part of their curriculum, and helping our faculties be really up to date in utilizing the next and best. You know, when you think of a college or institution that's teaching kids about what they need to do in the business world, Office needs to be a piece of that, just from an experience perspective. And we have plans to make it affordable. So if you are an EDU, plans to make it affordable and so that your students can share files, can work on their documents, can have their email, and then so you have full functionality of Office for your faculty. And we'll get a little bit more into that as we go. Then we have Small Business Premium, and you see there, it's 1 to 10 users. Small Business Premium, we'll get into the details as we go, but it's really for 1 to 10 users. It's that very small business, no IT support. Office 365 for mid-sized business. We'll talk about some of the details, but really enabling our partner ecosystem, whether in our licensing ecosystem, whether it's open or whether it's directly online or going through a distributor, really bringing together all the ways that you could purchase into a SKU that really fits the mid-sized business. And then Office 365 Enterprise in Government, advanced IT needs. That's not to say that a single person wouldn't want the far-end SKU there, because there's some organizations of four people that need advanced archiving. Maybe it's a small law shop, or they need to make sure they're compliant around retention. Maybe they're a small legal firm, maybe they're a small healthcare firm, and you just need to really look at the features and then consume that part of Office 365. So we'll get into each one of these as we go. I talked a little bit about Home Premium already. It's the new Office, and it combines Office applications with a subscription, and this is the consumer brand. So it comes with Skype Minutes, it comes with more storage on SkyDrive, and this is what we have had a tremendous amount of momentum in the consumer market with over the last 3 months. I don't know if you've seen some of the announcements lately, but it's been really great as far as Office 365 being one of the fastest growing offices of all time. So the new Office, 5 PCs or max, and it's the Office Home Premium. From an education perspective, I wanted to highlight that cloud-based email, SharePoint, team sites, being able to share documents, being able to have a huge inbox from the perspective of faculty or those students, intranet sites, business intelligence, Active Directory. So you're seeing all of the pieces that could make an online service integrated into your environment. Office for Education does that. And it's really from schools that want to modernize, give those students what they need to be successful in the workplace as far as experience, and also from a faculty perspective, being able to have the latest and greatest. And now we're going to get into the demonstration part, and we're going to start with Office 365 Small Business Premium. This includes a subscription to Office. So Office on your desktop, Office on multiple desktops, being able to manage that through the Office Small Business Premium. It's cloud-based email, it's SharePoint, it's calendaring, it's Link with the ability to do the HD video, public websites, and you know, a lot of organizations, small business say, I need some place where my company looks professional. I need a professional looking website or you know, extranet for my end users. And intranets to be able to share files very you know, amongst themselves. And that's small business, 1 to 10 users, really, and that's part of it. And Danny is going to actually do a demonstration to show you kind of what Office 365 Small Business Premium looks like. So we're going to turn it over to Danny.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
So typically, a demo would take, you know, like an hour or something like that. In this case, I've got about 10 to 15 minutes. So I will not be able to show you all the greatness that Office 365 Small Business has to offer your organization. So I've selected a few different points which I want to dive deep in and show why Office 365 Small Business is perfect for smaller organizations, basically. Although there is a sizing estimate between 1 and 10 users, there's a hard cap of 25 users. So if you have more than 25 users, you will not be able to use the service anymore. You need to go to a next plan or to a new plan. So in order to do my demo, I'll start from my Windows 8 machine, and I'll start up the browser, and I'll need to log into the service. So in order to log into the Office 365 service, I'll need an online username and password. Basically, this is a Microsoft Online ID, which is being generated in the portal itself. This Microsoft Online user ID must be typed into the browser every time, unless you hit the button, keep me signed in. If we look at the other SKUs, the other plans, you'll have the ability to combine Office 365 with your local Windows Active Directory. So basically, your users will use their Windows Active Directory username and password to log into Office 365. This is not possible with the small business version, which is mainly being targeted at smaller organizations. So first, I'll log in as a end user, DennisD at te2013small.onmicrosoft.com. And this is a typical very long username, of course. Once you set up the service, you'll have the ability to connect your own domain name to the service. And once you've connected your own domain name to the service, you can set up your users to have that login name. So basically, if my domain name was to be wartel.nl, my login name could be, in this case, DennisD at wartel.nl. So the entire long suffix does not need to be used. I'll type my password. Click sign in, and right now I'm being logged into the service. So as soon as the user logs into the service and hits portal.microsoft.com or portal.microsoftonline.com, an end user is being presented with their basic options. On the top, there are the main options for them being able to switch between Outlook and Calendar, which of course is part of Outlook, People, which is the context part of Outlook, Newsfeed, which is SharePoint Online, SkyDrive, and Sites, which are also SharePoint Online. Also, the user is able to get some information about, you know, what's included into the service through the online options, and he or she will be able to install the software which is available for on-prem deployment. So basically, as soon as the user hits PC and Mac, they'll see install the latest versions of Office. They can select the language that they actually want to have Office being provisioned in. And from there, they can click Install. So what will happen right now is that I need to run a local component, and this local component will actually install Office 365 for me. So in this case, I'll need to provide my username. Do it again. Since I'm not an administrator on the service, I cannot install anything locally. So the end user needs to be an administrator on the computer in order to install Office. And I've run this demo before. So in this case, I will not be able to install Office again on the same machine using the same install methodology. So that's what's been going on. Once the user hits the button, Office will download into the computer. And within a couple of minutes, depending on your internet speed, between 3 and about 5 to 10 minutes, they'll be able to use Office. So it will actually download the entire version of Office within a couple of minutes, or at least the basic parts. As soon as the user starts using Office, all the other parts of Office will be downloaded as they go until the entire Office suite is being downloaded onto the computer, and they can use all the different components within Office. This technology is kind of similar like APFI or Application Virtualization technology, where all the bits are available on the computer itself. Next to that, the user is able to install the different apps which they can use with a Windows 8 tablet, for instance. Also, there's some guidance about the other Office apps which are available, for instance, on a Windows phone or on an iPhone or an Android device. So what an end user must do is they must select phone and tablet. From there, they can, for instance, choose Windows Phone. And they get an overview of all the apps which are available for their specific device. If they were to choose an iPhone, different apps, of course, are shown. From there on, if somebody clicks Get the Apps, a new website is they're being redirected to a new website, they can put in their user or their phone number, and they'll get a text message to install the different apps on their specific computer or their specific device, being a phone or a tablet or whatever. The user will, from there, log into the system, type their username and password, and they're automatically connected to the Office 365 service and start working with Link or their documents in SharePoint Online or their email in Outlook, of course. This is the end user version, and we can go into the different services, but first I'll show you the administrator experience. So in order to do that, I will need to sign out the current user, which is an end user. I'll restart my browser just to be sure. I'll log in with admin at te2013small.onmicrosoft.com with my password. And I'll sign in. So the experience for the administrator is a little bit different. The administrator will not get the same options as an end user to install the different software components or to deploy software towards their phones or their tablets. Instead, they will get a really basic administration portal from where they can manage all the different components within their environment. Please remember that the small business version is being tailored towards smaller organizations, so organizations with 1 to 10 users. The entire interface, therefore, has been customized towards the experience or the thought-of experience of those types of users. You will not be able to use, for instance, the SharePoint Admin Center, which will allow you advanced administration of a SharePoint environment, of your SharePoint Online environment. You will not be presented with your Exchange Management Console, with which you can manage your Exchange environment. Instead, you will get a simple experience which will allow you to manage the services from your environment itself. So for instance, if we wanted to add a DNS name or a domain name, you will be guided towards the steps or through the steps which you will need to do to put your own domain name or connect your own domain name to Office 365 and use your own custom domain name. If you wanted to start working on your public website or download software, all those steps are provided as well. There are some organization-wide settings which an administrator is able to, which an administrator can actually do. So, for instance, for email, calendar, and contacts, they can say that their end users can share their calendars with the outside world. So, for instance, an end user who wants to share a calendar with another user in another organization, these kind of features can be turned on or off. Same with documents, documents and site sharing. Here, an administrator can specify if he wants his or her users to allow their end users to publish documents to the outside world. Also, they can control how their passwords are being set up and at what rate or at what amount of time their users need to reset their passwords. I will not go into all the different capabilities or administration capabilities. There are probably much more sessions around that. If a user needs to be added, again, the administrator will be taken through 5 steps, in which they must supply the username, select the settings for the specific users, select which services the user gets, connect their licenses, and give some details around email, and from there on, the user will actually be generated and can start using the Office 365 service. All right, this is the administration experience. If we want to go into the different services, basically all the different services which are in Office 365 can either be consumed through the Office client, which has been locally installed on the computer, but they can also be consumed through the browser. So in this case, if I click Outlook, I'll get my Outlook web app, which is the same in all the different versions of Office 365 that you use. I can view the calendar and put in some additional notes or some additional meetings. I can see all the people within my organization, which are being controlled in the back end, but I can also connect to different social networking environments, like in this case, LinkedIn. So these are my different LinkedIn connections which are being downloaded to my Outlook web app in this case, but which will also be shared to my Outlook client. From there on, I can also choose the news feed And a news feed basically is a social collaboration environment through which I can share all sorts of news with people within my organization. So for instance, if I come across a specific link on the internet, which I want to share with other people within my organization, I can select that link and publish it here on my personal news feed so other people within my organization will be able to view it. Not only am I able to post specific microblogs here, but also videos, like in this case a YouTube video, simply by selecting the link and pasting it into a blog. From there on, I will be able to play those different videos right from the browser, which in this case I will stop. Next to that, I'm able to post in all sorts of other details, like in this case a PowerPoint presentations, which users are able to view right from the news feed. These types of capabilities are not only present in a small business plan, but throughout all the different plans. So you can use the news feed not only in your small business plan, but also in your mid-sized business or your enterprise business plan. If I want to post something, I'll just put it right here, and I'm able to post it with all the other people in my organization. SkyDrive Pro is the replacement for the traditional My Site, which used to be on the SharePoint 2007 and 2010 environments. SkyDrive Pro basically is the central place where users store their own personal documents. Documents stored here are personal to the end user, except if they put it in the folder shared with everyone. If they put it in a folder shared with everybody, everyone within the organization will be able to search for those documents and will be able to consume those documents. Also, end users are able to share other documents with their colleagues, but also people outside of the organization. So, for instance, if I've got this Pan Pacific shipping proposal, which I want to share with a customer, for instance, I'll click this little button right here. It'll show me that, in this case, it's only shared with myself. I'll invite some more people, and I will be able to invite Dennis, who is a colleague within this environment, but also my wife, which is on this email address, .com. If I select her email address, I can type a personal message, and she will get an invite to view this document. Not only can she view it, but depending on the setting I choose here, she can either edit it or view it. I can require a sign-in or send her an anonymous link or send all the people an anonymous link so they don't need to log into the environment but are able to view the documents without needing to type in a username and a password. As soon as I click share, the link will be sent out and a user can from there log into the environment and view this document and even collaborate with me on the document through the Office web apps. And those Office web apps are the possibility to create documents right from the browser. So you don't need to start up Word, you don't need to install anything on your local computer. You can basically do this from every client throughout the world where that you want to use at that specific moment. So if I click New Document, I can choose between a Word document, an Excel workbook, PowerPoint presentation, OneNote notebook, or an Excel survey, which will allow me to create a survey and publish it out to my organization. In this case, if I select Word document, presentation guidelines, I'll click OK, and it will create the new document, and it will start up the Word web app in this case, which is kind of similar to the local version of Office. However, the Word web app does not have all the functions which are available in your Word environment, but the most popular ones. So the Word web app does not supply, for instance, mail merge and those types of options which are available in a local version of Office, but it's a limited version of what is available. However, I can type all sorts of information, select different fonts or select different headers, insert, in this case, a picture, and I can choose... Do I have a picture here? Oh, I don't. Oh, here it is. And it will upload the picture, in this case, to my specific Word document from where I can actually start working further. I can insert links, change the page layout, and, select how I will view the specific document. From here on, if I save it, it is being stored on my SkyDrive Pro, and it will be accessible through all the different Office versions which are on my local computer. The last part is the site part. From here on, I can either go to my team site or start using my public site and create a public site which I'll share. In this case, this team site is a site which I'll share with my colleagues or with people without, outside of my organization. If I want to invite users outside of my organization, I have a hard cap of 500 users within the small business plan and 10,000 users within the enterprise plan. So basically, I can invite 500 users within this small business plan to be part of this specific site or site collection and work with me on these project sites. A lot of small businesses use this, for instance, to create project sites for the projects they work on and then share those project sites with all their customers who can then collaborate on, with documents or timelines or whatever and work with them on those specific areas. One of the great new features of SharePoint Online or of Office 365 is the ability to add apps to Office. So from here, even within a small business plan, an end user or an administrator, depending on the rights they have within the service, can add apps from outside of the SharePoint Online environment in their SharePoint environment. So in order to do that, I'll click Add an App. Oh, click to run one. Add an app, and I'll be able to select all the different SharePoint apps, but I can also browse the SharePoint store. And basically, the SharePoint store is, you know, like a Windows store or a marketplace where I can select all sorts of apps which are available and which have been created by developers throughout the world and add those specific functionalities or those specific features in my SharePoint environment. So there's lots of sessions around apps and what you can do and how you can program apps. In this case, I'm an end user, I'm a consumer, so I'll just select my location, and I'll click Edit. I'll need to sign in with my Windows Live ID. Sign in. Here, I'll need to confirm that I want to purchase the app. It's getting ready. Return to the site. It'll ask me if I want to trust the app. You know, the app will do specific operations or will do specific operations with my SharePoint Online site, so I'll trust it. And from here on, I can actually use the app within my SharePoint Online environment. So I can add it to a page or navigate to it right from my browser. All right. Short overview of Office 365 Small Business.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, Small Business Premium, email, SharePoint, light administration that's fit for a small business that doesn't have IT departments or IT people doing a bunch of configurations. Does Small Business Premium fit for anyone here? All right. Didn't think so, but I wanted to check it out first. So when you go on the site and you look through some of the features, or if you're talking to someone about it, that you'll know, hey, all these features are great, but they're in all the other versions also. But this one, from an admin perspective, is a little bit easier with the less configuration, etc. So we are going to move from small business to Office 365 mid-sized business. And you'll see some of the things that we added on the right-hand side there, administration flexibility, Active Directory, site mailboxes, intranet sites. This is when Office 365 starts to expand and allow a lot more configuration from the Exchange side, a lot more integration into your environment. Again, it goes from 11 to 250 users. It can be purchased across multiple different ways, from open to online, et cetera. It's effective management and compliance and team collaboration, and it's enterprise grade. And as we step up from that small business, you'll start to see some of the differences. Whereas those features like office.com, sharing Word and Excel and everything through the browser, that's all there in every plan. But what you'll start to see is that we are going to step up into some of the new features and capabilities and flexibility from an IT control scenario. So we're going to quickly go back to Danny and talk about some of the differences and see some of the core features that start to come into play when you move up to a mid-size plan.
All right, so all the stuff I showed you earlier within the small business plan is available in the mid-size plan and the enterprise plan and the education plan. So basically, all these capabilities that you just saw, you can use within your other plans as well, except from the administration experience. The administration experience in the mid-size plan and the enterprise plans are totally different. You know, they empower IT people to basically manage their environments just like they were used to managing their on-premise environments. For instance, an IT administrator can use their Exchange Management Console to control their Exchange environment, both their on-premise Exchange environment and their cloud Exchange environment, or a hybrid configuration, if you will. Also, for instance, they can use PowerShell to manage their environment if they want to. They don't need to go and perform all these tasks by hand, but just use PowerShell to connect to the surface. So in this case, if I want to start up my portal.microsoftonline.com, I'll log in with my admin.
So you notice he's logging in with a different admin, different demo, same front end of that, and now you'll see a completely different experience.
That's right. So in this case, I hadn't enabled ADFS. If I would have enabled ADFS, I could have just used my username and password, which I use for my local Active Directory to log into the services. And depending on the setup, it will log me in automatically, or I would have to type in my username and credentials in my own ADFS login portal. So, for instance, I would be able to use two-factor authentication if I wanted to. Right now, there's a test going on, a public test going on with two-factor authentication built into Office 365. So you wouldn't need to set up ADFS if you wanted to have two-factor authentication. Again, if a user logs in or an administrator logs in, the experience is totally different. Their management console has all these new capabilities and will allow them to do advanced management of their environment. First of all, the base dashboard gives an overview of all the different services within, within their environment and the status of those different services. If there's any issues with any of the services going on, those issues will be presented, and a report will be shown about what's going on with the specific service. So in this case, I asked the guys for SharePoint Online if they could please create a service error for us to show it in the demo. So they've created this error for us so we will be able to view what's been going on. So in this case, right now, the tenant admin environment has been having some problems, and right now they're restoring the surface. So they fixed the problem, and right now they're making sure that nobody else gets this specific problem. I'll go back to my dashboard, and from here I can open up a service request. And basically I have two options for opening up service requests. So I can do it through the portal, but if I want a real quick response, I'll pick up the phone and, you know, ask somebody to help me with my specific problem. I'll be able to get some reports, like in this case, inactive email users, and I can view all the different mail messages or reports around email messages. Those reports can really come in handy if you want to dive deep into how people are using your Office 365 environment. For instance, there are specific reports on mailbox sizes, on the number of emails being sent out, on your basically on your entire tenant, there's information. Also, a few helping or quick starts have been added to the service for you to enable you to set up your environment and go through all these advanced steps like setting up an ADFS proxy and stuff. Those different wizards basically guide you through the process of setting it up. You will, however, need to perform all the steps yourself. And for instance, in order to connect your Office 365 environment with your local Active Directory, You will need to set up reverse proxies, install ADFS servers, and do all these different PowerShell commands and stuff. So it's, you know, it's not that hard, but you would need to go into it. The Quick Start or Extend Your Setup wizards help you and guide you through the process. If I wanted to do user and group management, basically I can do that through the browser. If I don't want to use my Active Directory for management, I could also do it in bulk or use PowerShell to create new users or change specific users which are in my environment. Using PowerShell basically is really easy. I'll start it up, Windows Azure Active Directory. I'll run it as an administrator. First of all, as soon as I run my PowerShell environment, I need to connect to the system. So in this case, connect MSOL service. I'll type my username and password.
How many use PowerShell today with Exchange or with other products? A few of you? All right, so this will be very familiar. And thinking about the service as a whole, being able to use PowerShell, whether it's Exchange or other parts of the service, or what he's doing is really into the portal side of the service. So things that you're familiar with PowerShell, being able to extend those out to Office 365 so that you can do bulk management tasks instead of having to use the UI. So, sorry. That's
no worries,
sure.
Thanks. So basically there's four different types of PowerShell. There's the Windows Azure Active Directory PowerShell, which will allow you to manage the service and perform all sorts of tasks with your entire environment. Then there's Exchange, the Exchange PowerShell, remote PowerShell, which will allow you to do almost all or perform almost all tasks which you would normally do by hand in Exchange, but then through PowerShell. It's basically the same PowerShell as for your on-premise Exchange environments. SharePoint Online PowerShell, which has about 30 commands. If there's any SharePoint 2013 administrators in the room, you'll know that PowerShell for SharePoint on-prem has about 700 commands. So we're getting there. You know, we're not up to speed yet. But the most important tasks can be performed through PowerShell. And then there's Link Online PowerShell. And basically, you will only use Link Online PowerShell to enable hybrid voice, which is not available in the mid-sized environment, and some other configuration options. So from here, I've connected to the surface, and I can get some basic reports. Since this is not a PowerShell session, I will leave it like this. But from here, you can create all sorts of scripts to create users, assign plans to them, connect them to different backend systems if you don't want to use Windows Azure, but for instance, your HR system to create your users dynamically or delete them or disable them after a specific period. That's what basically PowerShell will enable you to do. From the back end, I can add specific other domains. I can check my licensing, add new licenses if I want. I can check the different service settings. And in this case, I can go through all the different service settings which are available. I can check service health, dive deep into all sorts of reports, and get more information around support. Also, from here, you can actually go to the connect.microsoftonline.com environment, or the community, where you can start collaborating with all sorts of other people around the service you are at that point consuming, so you can actually, you know, start using those services. All right, that's it.
All right. So, hopefully you saw that from an admin perspective, huge changes and differences from small business to the mid-sized business. From a feature side, you know, it's Office, it's email, it's SharePoint, it's Link, giving you some of the more granular control. So when we look at mid-size from an end user, it's really not that different. Still Office, same thing, installs, on-demand, being able to share. But from an IT perspective, it opens up a whole new world for you to be able to manage and properly configure and do the things that you might want to or expect to do with Exchange and SharePoint and Link. So we're going to now step into the enterprise plan. And I said it before, and I just want to reiterate, you can buy one seat of enterprise. We really want to say, It is what services and what capabilities our customers need. We've tried to come up with a very simple and effective way of handling small business that doesn't have IT, but really anyone can purchase the enterprise plan. And it's Office 365 Enterprise includes things like archive and e-discovery. E-discovery through the new e-discovery workplace that has Link and SharePoint and Exchange as part of it. It includes the capabilities for business intelligence, voicemail integration, site mailbox. We talked a little bit about Active Directory integration with ADFS and really getting into the connection points of your on-premises. These are all part of the enterprise inherently from a plan perspective. And this is this is really where companies of all large sizes can move to. So anyone here before I go, mid-size, did mid-size fit for anyone? A few of you guys? All right, perfect. So we're starting to get, I guess, to the E and enterprise plans. So you'll see another demonstration coming up that really digs into this and sees some of the actual end-user features that get enabled. So the mid-size plan, we showed a lot of the administration that gets enabled, but with the enterprise plans, with archiving, in-place hold, legal hold, retention, these things start to become part of the service all up, along with Office and collaboration and everything that we already moved through. So we're going to walk through an enterprise demonstration, and again, everything you saw before just layers itself into this enterprise. So this is the enterprise SKU or plan.
All right. Is anybody using information rights management at this point? Nobody? All right. Information rights management gives you the opportunity to protect your documents with 265-bit encryption. So whenever a user tries to open the specific document, they will need to put in their Active Directory username and password, and from there they can actually open their documents. We can do the same with emails. So protect emails which are being sent out, so nobody can open those emails unless they are authenticated towards your Windows Azure Active Directory environment, or towards Office 365, basically. So setting up a local information rights management environment can be really tough to do. You know, it can take a long time, and it requires a lot of servers and a lot of publishing of a PKI infrastructure and stuff. So typically, those projects can last a pretty long time. So right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up information rights management as part of the Office 365 Enterprise SKU, or eSKU, and I'm going to actually enable it within the organization. So in order that, I'll need to log into the service as an administrator. I've logged into my Enterprise Admin Center with the E3 SKU or Enterprise SKU enabled. And from here on, I'll go to the Windows Azure Active Directory. In order to log into the Windows Azure Active Directory, because I'm logged into Office 365, I'm automatically logged into Windows Azure Active Directory. From here, I can manage all the users within my organization. I can manage ADFS connections, but I can also manage rights management servers. So in order to do that, I'll click on the Rights Management Service Manage link, and it'll take me to the Rights Management portal where I can activate the service. Do I really want to do it? Yes. All right, so Rights Management has been activated. In order to do this in an on-premise environment, and especially larger organizations, banks, or all sorts of corporate environments do this, these types of features. Enabled to do this on an on-premise environment, you know, would typically take you days or weeks or months even to complete because of setting and you needing to set up all these different services and all these different PKI service and firewalls and all sorts of other configurations within your organization. Right now, I've done it. I've set up this service. This is where Microsoft Office 365 is heading towards, that you can enable all these different services right from the browser in just a couple of clicks. So from here, I've enabled rights management for Office 365 before I go over to the end user demo. And from here, I just need to enable it within either SharePoint or Exchange. I'll enable it for SharePoint. I'll go to the SharePoint Admin Center, where I can manage my SharePoint environment. I'll go to Settings, and here is your Information Rights Management link. In order to use these features or this functionality within my environment, I'll click Use Information Rights Management Surface. I'll refresh the settings, and it will take a couple of minutes, so I can go back later on in order to actually use information rights management within the organization. It'll take a couple of minutes to synchronize and ping back to the surface that information rights management has actually been turned off and is able to be used within the environment. In the meanwhile, let me use a login as Katie Jordan, a demo personality. And again, what you'll see here is the same experience that you've been experiencing throughout all these different services. So the same end user experience with all the same features and functionality. However, a new set of functionality has been added. So for instance, if we go to Outlook, she'll have the same Outlook web access and the same local version of Outlook connected to the Outlook web access environment from where she can manage her emails in this case. Next to that, within her Outlook client, she will have access to specific site mailbox environments connected in SharePoint Online. A site mailbox is a new feature introduced with this new wave, which basically allows you to connect an Exchange mailbox to a SharePoint environment, a SharePoint site. Basically, a SharePoint site will get an email address, and all users who have at least modify rights within the SharePoint Online site will be able to send and receive mails right from that SharePoint site. But from Outlook, for instance, you'll be able to connect to the site mailbox. And you are able to, for instance, share documents right from your Outlook client. So in this case, Katie is connected to three different site mailbox for a site called Nordwind Traders, Project Falcon, and Tailspin Toys. And from here, she can manage all the mail in her site mailbox. So if she were to click the inbox, you'll see all these different mails which have been coming in this case one. And the email address which has been created is SMO minus Nordwind Traders at the entire URL. This mailbox or this name can actually be changed, albeit not from the web user interface. You'll need to use PowerShell in order to do that. Next to that, she can go into her SharePoint Online environments by clicking Documents, and she can see all the documents which are in her SharePoint Online environment. From here, she can start working on those specific documents, but also she can add new documents just by dragging and dropping them into into the environment. So I'll click a mail received by or sent to me by Alex Darrow. I'll select it, and I'll drag it over to the documents library in Nordwind Traders. And I'll open up this site later on to show you that the Nordwind Traders proposal has actually, here it is, is actually being uploaded right now towards the SharePoint Online document library from where all users can work with the SharePoint Online environment. This will probably take a couple of minutes. If you go back to, in this case, Office 365, she can use all the same functions like we've seen before. So the calendar, people, the news feed, where she's able to communicate with colleagues within the organization and share all sorts of news in a microblog type of style. Also, she can follow documents and sites. The SkyDrive environment, where documents can be stored and shared with other people within the organization, and the sites environment. Sites basically is a start page for all the sites to which a specific user is connected at any point of time. So from here, she can actually go to her company portal, her Contoso company portal in this case, and she can start working on collaborating with her colleagues or getting all sorts of information around the company. Also, she can start a search for specific documents. So, for instance, if we are searching for marketing, it'll start up the new search page where she can find all the information regarding marketing within her organization. From here, And this is specific for the E SKU and not available in the other SKUs. So you can also search for videos, which is typically only available for the enterprise environment. If she searches for marketing, she will not only find documents, but also people. People within her organization who have knowledge regarding, in this case, the subject of marketing. She can search through all the different social information and the videos, as I mentioned before. In this case, if she's looking for a marketing PowerPoint presentation, she can type in marketing deck. And what SharePoint Online will do, and what SharePoint Online Enterprise will give you the possibility of, is customizing all sorts of search queries, advanced search queries, which will allow you to specify all sorts of terms and customize the way those search terms are being displayed to you. So you can offer information regarding specific searches that pinpoint especially what somebody's looking for. So within Microsoft, a deck typically resembles a PowerPoint presentation. So if she searches for marketing deck, what will happen is right on top of her search, in this case, 45 PowerPoint decks with the word marketing connected to it somehow are displayed. Also, she can search for instance, team site, which will bring up a list of team sites. So if we were to go to the BI portal team site, I can search for TeamSite BI. And next to two documents, in this case, it will also bring up the SharePoint TeamSite with about BI, so I can navigate straight through or to this TeamSite. I can also could also search for other dashboards. So one of the capabilities within the enterprise SKU is the little bit more advanced or advanced BI capabilities. And those advanced BI capabilities basically run on Excel PowerView, Power Pivot, and on Visio services. So by connecting Excel towards all sorts of backends, including Oracle databases, SQL Server databases, or publicly available information, you can create your own Excel dashboards and publish them within SharePoint in your SharePoint Online BI Center, which is a specific service for the enterprise SKU. So from here, in this dashboard, which is the executive sales report, Katie can dive into into specific information. For instance, in this case, this is an app within the Excel document. She can dive into the customer satisfaction for a specific region. So if she were to look at the customer satisfaction, enable content. If she were to look into the customer satisfaction within the United Kingdom, I need to double-click on United Kingdom. And I can dive deep into the customer satisfaction towards specific regions. All this information is stored in an Excel sheet, which is being published as a BI portal towards my SharePoint Online environment with all sorts of data behind this. Also, I can look at my sales quantity timeline or, for instance, in this case, the revenue per category. If I wanted to dive into the revenue for instance, cameras and camcorders, I can click that. And what it will do is it'll filter the connected dashboards in my environment. I can also dive deeper into, in this case, Contoso. And I can look at the revenue being generated by Contoso in this case, cameras and camcorders. There's some other dashboards available as well. For instance, customer satisfaction, in which an Excel dashboard is being presented in much more an Excel fashion. And next to the dashboard, a news feed is being generated where people can discuss this specific dashboard. From here, people can filter specific data on, for instance, year or whatever. Also, if we go to fulfillment, I'll show you an example of Visio services. And Visio services can be connected, or a Visio worksheet can be connected to other databases or backend databases like Oracle or SQL Server or other databases as well. And you can, as in this case, specify the entire business process about order fulfillment. So these kind of capabilities are really enterprise focused. Last thing I wanted to show you is e-discovery. future. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we'll wait for that to start up. In the meantime, let me do one more demo. So data loss protection is one of the features which is in the enterprise version as well. And what data loss protection actually does is it enables your organization or your customer's organization to specify all sorts of rule sets about email conversations that your employees or that people within the organization can actually have. So for instance, within the compliancy of an organization, one of the rule sets could be that somebody is not allowed to email credit card numbers to people outside of the organization, or bank numbers, or social security numbers, or those kind of numbers. So what you want to do is you want to either block emails containing those types of numbers, or you want to give the user a heads up telling them that they are not able or they are not allowed to send that type of information outside of your organization. So in this case, what I'll do is I'll create an email to my wife at ATP. All right. Oh. And I'll tell her credit card's number. Hi, honey. Please find my credit card number below. Go ahead. All right. That's always dangerous. That's actually my credit card that got stolen last week, so the number doesn't work. All right, so what it will do is it will check all outgoing emails through a sequence of numbers or a regex or whatever type of sequence you specify yourself, and also Microsoft has specified many of these different types of sequences. And by sending out this email, first of all, there's a policy tip. And this policy tip is actually before I'm actually sending out this email telling me that I'm not allowed to send out this email. I can specify all sorts of information in there, for instance, that if I wanted to send out this email, it must first go through a compliancy officer who must check the contents of the email before the email can actually be sent out, or whatever type of workflow I wanted to specify regarding this specific email. Of course, you don't want to do that with all the information within your company, but you know, with specific information, especially if you work for a financial institution or somebody handling a lot of credit cards and stuff, you want to limit the capabilities which you have. So actually, you can send this email. I cannot send this email basically because it's blocked by this policy, unless I change the credit card number. There you go. And right now, it should be, oh, it's still thinking that I've got my credit card number in there. But all right, the message at least is being blocked, so I cannot send her this information. All right.
Perfect. So, question. We'll just take it real quick. Yeah, I have seen that feature and have had that used on me. And yeah, if you are saying please see the attached, I've seen that come up. I don't know exactly what version and what context, but we can take that offline and see if it'll do in this. But I have used that feature before. But we'll take that offline. So does this seem like a little bit more of a fit? Hands in the air? Enterprise? People shaking? Good. So we've worked through it. So thank you for bearing with us. But hopefully you saw some new features and capabilities throughout the whole session, even though we tried to break up where things really fit. And one of the things I wanted to highlight, and I had a giant SKU matrix, and then I thought I made it better, and then I look at it now, and it's still a SKU matrix. But here is the opportunity we have to really look at what kind of plans are available. And I guess the big takeaway from this session is it fits what you're doing within your enterprise, within your organization. If it's enterprise E1 or E3 or K, all of these have really clear descriptions and features of how these fit within your business. It is not a one-size-fits-all solution or service. We, you know, we might sometimes, in a self-deprecating way, laugh a little bit about how our licensing might come across or how our SKUs are all over the place as far as on the site. But the beauty is you can choose. And we're not just giving you a single package and saying, this is what you get, this is what we want to provide. You truly can work through these scenarios for your business. Maybe it's an exchange, a foot in the cloud through exchange and getting to exchange quickly. Maybe it's you're doing or looking at an exchange upgrade and you're looking at the cloud for exchange. That's perfectly fine. You can move into the scenarios that fit for your business. So there are plans through E1, E3, and then K1. K1 would be for users who are purely web or purely mobile with a little bit lighter from a technology needs of size of mailbox, et cetera. The A plans, which I wanted to highlight for education, making sure that we fit the model from huge amount of students and alumni down to faculty, give the right people the choice. And then on the right, the standalone services, Office, Standalone, Exchange, SharePoint, Link. These you can consume by themselves, integrate them into your current environment. So I just wanted to put that up there and really highlight the fact that this is not a single motion. You can do so many different things and really fit it into your next project. So if you have a project on SharePoint or Link coming up, take a look at what Office 365 can deliver and know that you can always continuously step into more services. And one of the things I wanted to highlight before we leave is the next question is what is our next steps? What do we do to get there? What is it that you need to do when you come out of the room? And one of the things I wanted to highlight was Office 365 Fast Track. And it's fasttrack.office.com, and it's on the next slide, so you don't have to write it down. To really help you pilot, so see what this is all about, all the things that Danny just demonstrated, you can do immediately. We have trials, we have pilot scenarios through Fast Track. You can literally start tomorrow, be up and online in minutes, and start working through some scenarios that fit for your business immediately. As you go through a pilot, maybe it's with your IT team, maybe it's with a few stakeholders or some users who are your kind of key players, let them use the service, share some files. SkyDrive Pro is a tremendous way to start collaborating that is very light touch. You don't have to do all the ADFS if you don't want to. You don't have to move a ton of mailboxes if you don't want to. You can start small, truly gain an experience of the service, and then move to deployment. You know, we talked about the domain names and the email and getting other people's user or email up there. That you can work through in a deploy phase after you've seen the value of the service in a pilot. So, and then from an enhanced perspective, that's that deep level integration with your Active Directory if you want it and if it fits your business, or doing third-party migrations from other pieces of technology. So this is on the fasttrack.office.com, and it's going to fly in here on the resources down at the bottom. But you can start seeing these features today. You can start utilizing it. You can kind of work through our Fast Track methodology, which really is just trying to help you prioritize and say pilot, deploy, enhance. Start with that pilot. Show people what it's all about so that you can get people within your organization excited. So thank you very much. We would love if you go to the next Sessions for Office, come visit us in the office booth at the kind of back of the center and talk about these things with us. We're all there waiting to talk to you about how you take next steps. Sessions on Demand, we have the Garage Live series being filmed and you can come watch that. And you know, always please complete evaluation. It helps us out tremendously to be able to get your feedback and really build sessions around what you would like us to build them. So I have one more question, and I think, did you want to ask the question? I'm trying to think of a good question here.
I'll hand it over to you.
All right, sorry. I thought, I can't remember what. So think of a good question. So which plan is archiving and retention included in? So, someone said E3. Oh, there you go. Who was first? All right. So, we have another one of these if you want to come up and grab it. So, again, all those plans, all the capabilities, you need to dig in and see what makes sense for you. Archiving and retention is part of E3. It's part of the Enterprise Plan E3 suite. So thank you very much. Hopefully this was helpful. We'll be here to answer some questions because we have a few minutes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.